Well, eventually, Zwingli began to attack the Catholic doctrine of purgatory. He attacked saints. He attacked monasticism. He attacked clerical celibacy. He attacked the Mass, in particular the idea that the Mass was an enactment of the sacrament of the sacrifice of Christ, or that in the Eucharist Christ was truly present. He began to attack the authority of the Pope. He began to attack such practices as fasting. And in 1524, he actually was married. Now, Zwingli doesn't seem actually to have owed very much to Luther. He seems to have come to his views largely on his own at a colloquy at Marburg in 1529, which we mentioned very briefly in our previous lecture. Zwingli and Luther discovered actually that they really didn't have common ground on which they could compromise, and they wound up going their separate ways. Now, the eastern cantons of Switzerland split very badly over matters of religion. There was a great deal of turmoil, there was a great deal of warfare, and in the ensuing turmoil, Zwingli was killed in battle. But the Reformation had nevertheless begun in Switzerland. Now, this brings us to the career of the Frenchman, John Calvin, born in 1509, dies in 1564. Let's pause just a moment and notice those dates. Calvin is basically a generation younger than all of the people we've been talking about to date. He is in some way the heir and beneficiary of the experience of the people we have been talking about to date. Calvin, of course, is the one with whom we particularly associate the Reform tradition and ultimately the consolidation of the Reform in Switzerland, and then, as we'll see, in other places as well, influenced by John Calvin, or the Calvinist tradition, or the Reformed tradition. We'll use those terms, Calvinist and Reformed, more or less as synonyms. Calvin himself was born in the town of Noyon in northern France, in very modest circumstances. But the parish priest noted that he was a boy of unusual intelligence and provided for his education, first locally, then in Paris, where he went off and studied for a number of years. He studied theology in Paris, and was there at least until about 1523. Within a few years, Calvin had grave doubts about his priestly vocation. He left Paris. He went off to study law at Orléans. Here, he encountered Protestants for the first time. As far as we know, in his native Noyon, or when he went down to Paris as a boy of 14 or thereabouts, we don't know that he had encountered Protestants yet, but when he went off to Orléans, he did. Not until 1533, however, did he actually declare his break from the Roman Church. Now, at that point, still, he's only a young man of about 24. In 1532, he published a commentary on one of Seneca's works. Remember Seneca, the first century AD Roman Stoic philosopher? Well, what we see here again is the influence of humanism. And in a certain respect, it's more an Italian-style humanism than a Northern-style humanism, because Calvin turned not, let's say, to one of the church fathers or to the text of the Bible, but rather he turned to the writings of Seneca. Well, at just about this time, the King of France, Francis I, was getting a little bit disturbed about the number of Protestants abroad in his kingdom, and he began sort of rounding them up and making life very difficult for them. Calvin fled. He fled to Basel in Switzerland, and there in 1536, he's 25, he published the first edition of his Institutes of the Christian Religion. Now, we'll refer to this book on a number of occasions as we go along in this lecture, but what I want to draw attention to at the moment is the fact that Calvin produces one of the great monuments of the history of Christian thought when he is still a very young man. Now, a man by the name of Guillaume Farel, 1489 to 1565, a man 20 years older than Calvin, was then in the process of reforming the city of Geneva, French Switzerland, not the German Switzerland of Zurich in the east where Zwingli had been working, but now Geneva in the west, and he invited Calvin to join him. Now, Calvin apparently was reluctant to do so at first. He seems to have preferred the idea of a life of retreat, a life of scholarship, a life of reflection. Nevertheless, he did join forces with Farel, and the two of them together wrote the Articles of Church Government for the city of Geneva. They imposed a very strict regime on the city. All citizens were required to make a profession of the Reformed faith before the public authorities. There was to be no freedom of religion here. These people all had to come before the public authorities and declare their faith. Well,